You're listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Scott Pridemore here with another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome David Dillard with Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. Welcome, David.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. So let's get right into it. So the library, such a facility, a venue that's woven into the fabric of our communities here in Charlotte, really all the way around the world, but in Charlotte in particular, that's where you come in. Where these libraries are located, where you may be making renovations to those existing libraries. Can you just give us just an overview as to what your day-to-day is?
Absolutely. The Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System has 20 branches. Our goal is to be within a 12 to 15 minute drive of the entire population of the county.
Okay.
My role is to help the library administration identify locations for spaces that are in library deserts. And there are a number of those in the county. And to help with major renovations and the new project, which is the new main library. Since I've been here, we've finished a renovation of the North County Regional Library up in Huntersville. We have just closed the South County Library at 51 and Ray to do an extensive renovation. So we've got about a 15-month renovation process there. It'll be a completely new library with new technology, new meeting rooms, and the things that we want. We just signed a lease for a new facility on South Boulevard. I'm really excited about it. We just opened it to the public a week ago. It replaces a 5,500-square-foot building that we leased in 1965 from Crosland on the corner of Scaly Bark and South Boulevard.
Yes, I've seen that.
We're 4/10 of a mile south of that in a building that's almost four times the size. You walk into that building, and it's got that industrial chic look of the neighborhood, the South End, Loso neighborhood.
Sure.
Exposed ceiling. But what we have in there is a lot more materials, both books, DVDs, CDs. We've got lots of meeting rooms. We have a community room now that can hold up to about 100 people. So we want this a place for the community to come in and be a part of the library scene, but also we want to connect other people that are outside the library. They don't have to come in to use library services to use our community room. We've got a huge children's area. We've got a program room for the children.
Fantastic.
We've got a dedicated teen area. The teen area at the old Scaly Bark was approximately 5 feet by 12 feet. This new space is about 600 or 700 square feet, and we've got soft seating and a young adult collection specifically for them. We've got a quiet reading room. We've got our periodical area with lovely soft seating, and we've got adequate space for our staff to do the work that they have to do in sorting and doing their projects.
Wow. So, I mean, it really sounds like you're building out these libraries to be in keeping with their communities for the look and the feel, and then obviously with the accessibility. That's a huge piece. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I'm a native Charlottean, and I used to go to my local library, which was the South Branch Library, which is now called the Myers Park Branch. Mm-hmm. At the time, there was a library uptown, and there was a North Library, a South Library, an East Library, and a West Library. And if you know anything about Charlotte, as close as the South Branch was to the center of town was about as far as the library system reached.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got 20 branches from Davidson to Hickory Grove to Mountain Island down to South County. And yet there are still library deserts.
Right.
We have an incredibly diverse community in Mecklenburg County. Any way you want to cut the statistics, there are a lot of people and there are a lot of different people.
Yes.
Every branch has a feel of their own little tiny community. We've got some exciting things happening at our Bates Ford Road branch, which I'm excited about because I went to high school close to that branch and was able to utilize that some when I was in high school. But we are identifying places where certain communities are underserved by the library.
I just love that you all recognize that there are library deserts and that you're making plans and actions to alleviate those, meaning to move into those areas and offer a library to folks that are underserved. And something else that I really love is the growth of the library system in and around the Mecklenburg or Charlotte metro area in a day and age where it seems like one might think that's like pushing a boulder uphill due to the access that now people have online to either, you know, purchase a book through Amazon or log into Audible. How is the library serving people even in such an age where everything is accessible online?
There are a variety of ways, most of which I didn't even know about before I joined the library system a year and a half ago. Let me tell you that our outreach group does work. I mean, they provide library services all over the county, in churches, in prisons, in retirement villages. They help people establish book clubs in their community centers. We are very fortunate that the county commission in last year's budget approved a mobile library for us. So we will have what is in essence a bookmobile sometime in the spring, and we have been piloting the ways to utilize that with programming in some underserved neighborhoods. We've established some connections up in the Prosperity Village area that is midway between our North County Library and our University City Library, and the people up there are aching for a bricks and mortar library. Until we can furnish that, we've got this new bookmobile that's coming out. We've got our outreach group that is partnering with the Parks and Recs Department at the Mallard Creek Recreational Center to do programming there on a weekly basis. We've sent our bookmobile test group up to the Thomasboro neighborhood, which is, and that the need in that neighborhood is primarily related to early literacy. So we're doing storytime programs where our librarians go and they may take puppets and they read to the children and they let the children crawl in their laps and they teach those children's adults how to do an interactive reading with those children, whether it's an adult, a caregiver, or a grandparent that maybe never had that experience growing up. So one of the other ways that we are relevant is that we have what we call the digital branch. So, you know, we have 20 bricks and mortar branches, but our digital branch is available for everybody that has a library card. You can do everything from read the Observer to read the New York Times to take a look at your stock investments and
that's fantastic. How are you getting the word out? I love that. Well, I've heard about this.
We're talking to Scott Pridemore mainly because we know that his audience is so
I love it.
So huge.
I love it. We'll do our part for sure.
One of the other things that I'll tell you is that people love books. As our digital collection has grown, and the digital collection can be moderately expensive for us based on what's happening with the providers of the digital collection. But as that collection has grown and been utilized, we have found a corresponding rise in traditional books usage. It is absolutely,
I love a book. I mean, I'm all about the book. I'd love to fold, mark, highlight. That's me. So
my children read on a Kindle, and when I get into bed at night and I want to read one chapter,
sure,
I have my book. I have my bookmark in. I know it's going to be 14 pages. Tactily, I can feel it. I can see it.
Sure.
And I can gauge what I'm doing. You can't do that on the Kindle. But there's some people that just love the Kindle. You know, they can put 40 books
right
and go to the beach for a vacation, yep, and read all week and be happy.
Certainly. Absolutely. So what else do we need to know about the developments and the construction and the demolition?
I will tell you that every property that we touch in our system, we are designing flexibility for the future.
Okay.
We think we understand what the library services are going to be in the next 10 to 15 years, but we're going to be around forever. And so we're designing flexibility for what happens and what may change in 20 and 25 and 50 years. There's nothing more evident than that in the design of the new main library, which we've gotten a lot of press about, and I think for good reason, because it's an exceptionally exciting project.
My daughter will go to the library to study Fairmount over Moorcroft, mm-hmm. and she'll walk there. And we've, I mean, certainly she's also able to connect with some of her peers.
Exactly.
At the same time. So, but she does get her studying done there. But we also see the benefit of a gathering place. And it sounds like you all are really implementing these spaces into the libraries for folks to meet up and connect.
Absolutely. Our new South Boulevard branch went from having zero meeting spaces, I mean, one small conference room, to six study rooms, a quiet reading room, the community room, the program room for the children. People need places to go and meet with others. And it could be, you know, our new main library is going to have dozens of meeting rooms of varying sizes. We'll have two-seat rooms. We'll have meeting rooms that will seat 40 or 50 people. And our expectation is that the community is going to come in and use not only the main library, but every library that we have as a place to connect. There are very few institutions in our community where that's a goal.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I love it that the Mecklenburg Library System, they're building out and for the future, not just the now, but understanding that this is a long-term plan. And the reality is Charlotte is continuously growing. Population, 100 people a day, adding to the population, so that need, to your point, library is going to be here 100 years from now, no question, and positioning and planning now to accommodate the future growth. I love that. So what else do we need to know with respect to the development that is taking place?
Well, let's talk about the new main library.
Okay.
In the early 20th century, I guess 1903, the Carnegie Library was established in the 300 block of North Tryon Street, and there's been a library there ever since. Unfortunately, the Carnegie Library got torn down in the mid-50s. That building was expanded and renovated in the 80s, and I guess with the life cycle of these buildings, we've determined that it is more cost-effective to tear down that existing building and rebuild on a smaller footprint. We're going to take some of the back of the house operations, some of the administrative functions that happen currently uptown in that building that don't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to relocate those out to a facility that the county is providing for us up at Eastway Drive and North Tryon Street.
Sure.
We're excited about the design and the build out of that. It's going to be exciting for our staff. But what will happen is we'll build a new 5-story building that is going to be really inspirational in design. The partners, our architects, Snow Hedda out of Oslo and Clark Nexon, which is a local architect, are combining and they've designed a really exciting looking building that is going to do everything that we want, that are going to help us achieve our mission, which is to improve lives and to build a stronger community. It's also going to help us realize our vision of being an essential connector of a thriving community of readers, leaders, and learners. That facility is going to be really have a prominent place in the culture of our uptown. We're adjacent to the new Carolina Theater renovation and hotel that is being built on the corner of Tryon and 6th. We'll maintain that position. Arequipa Park, unfortunately, will go away, but the library will be there with a design that is complementary to the historic McGlowan Theater that's immediately adjacent to that location. We are going to see a place that is so welcoming. Our main level is going to have a cafe. It's going to have an entrance right there on Tryon Street. There's a project called the 7th and Tryon development that incorporates the back half of that block, a little bit of space along 7th Street, and then where the police station is now on 7th Street in the next block. All that's going to be redeveloped with a master developer who's going to build an office building, some senior housing, some multifamily housing, some retail, some creative office. There'll be a plaza behind the new library, and we'll have an entrance from there. So this is going to be one of those places where People are going to come in from every direction. It's going to be a place to meet. It's going to be a place to learn. It's going to be a place to have and find community. One of the things I love about every one of our branches is when you walk in, you're going to talk to a librarian who is going to give you advice on things and maybe change your perspective on dealing with something that you haven't thought about. I bumped into a woman from church recently and at the Bates Ford Road branch. And I said, do you live in the neighborhood? She goes, no, I live near university, but I was traveling down this way and I frequent this library because I like Hannah, who is our branch leader there.
Wow.
She gives me great advice. So
I love that.
I like the fact that to have a community, you have to be in community, you have to talk to folks. I know you can get community in other places. You can get them at the bowling alley. You can get them at a pub. You can get them at your church. This is a unique and open place where you don't have to come in and spend any money. It's welcoming to everybody that's going to walk through the door. One of the things I particularly love about the design of the new main library is when you walk in, it's going to be open. You're going to see books. We're going to have our popular collection on the main level. We're also going to have kind of topical book selections on that main level. So if the McGlowan Theater has a performance with a certain performer, and there's books available about the performer or about their genre, we'll have books out there on a collection for those folks. We'll have an immersion theater on that first level. We'll have a forum-type space for impromptu and planned public speaking engagements. We'll have a small cafe so that people can get their fix of coffee and get lunch and breakfast and be there for that. But one of the things that's great about it is as you walk into the first level, you'll see through this kind of modulating atrium, you'll be able to see all five levels. And what's going to happen is you're going to see people and activity, and you may have walked into that building to pick up a book that you have on hold, and you're going to say, there's something up there that piques my interest. So I'm going to walk upstairs to the second level. The second level is kind of our opportunity and innovation level. So we'll have an orientation center there for people that are new to Mecklenburg County. And when I say new, it might be someone from Rock Hill or Gastonia, or it may be someone from New York City or Tampa, Florida, or it may be somebody from Taiwan or Rio de Janeiro. It could be anywhere across the world. And we'll be welcoming to those folks and help them understand how to live and work and play and be engaged in the culture of Charlotte.
I'm definitely, that would be such an opportunity for us to direct folks that are relocating and from other areas for more information, not only on the libraries, but Charlotte overall.
Oh, we will have resources about everything that's happening in the county for folks to get acclimated. We'll have job training and counseling services. We'll have some core technology, makerspace kind of cool stuff. We'll have a couple of recording studios there, as a matter of fact. We really expect people to come in and do a podcast or create something. We will have some video technology. We will have a digital visualization lab, which will be really cool. I have to admit, I don't understand exactly how that's going to work. And I'm not sure our chief innovation officer does at this point. But by the time we get up and running, we'll have a better understanding of how data is going to be utilized. And that could be a collecting point and a distribution point for businesses, for the business development folks, for the county and the surrounding region. It's going to be really cool. We'll have an outdoor terrace on the second level so you can go outside and read. And it's going to be low enough to the ground level that it'll give you a perspective of people. It's going to be really nice.
Wow. That's incredible. And so for folks that are listening to this podcast and they want to learn more information about the design of the Uptown Library or anything else pertinent to locations of libraries across the Charlotte region, where would they go?
CMLibrary.org.
Okay.
It's in Charlotte, Mecklenburg.
All of this is
CMLibrary.org. It's all on there.
Okay.
Including information on how to make a personal or corporate contribution to the campaign that we have. most folks in this county probably don't understand that the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library is one of two libraries in the state that by state law are independent. We have a governing board of trustees that our CEO reports to. We own real estate in our own name. But I like to tell people we're about as independent as that 20-year-old living in his parents' basement. Most of the funding for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Libraries comes from Mecklenburg County.
Okay.
We work hand-in-hand with the county commissioners on funding our operations and our capital needs. They have been gracious in funding about half of $100 million that it's going to take for us to build this new facility. We're in a private campaign. I think we've raised a little over $21 million of the $50 million for that. We've got an additional extended campaign that's going to create an endowment that's going to be used for the entire system. And so there are plenty of opportunities. I've made a personal pledge over several years. I know that the Knight Foundation made a $10 million pledge, and that the Gambrell Foundation just announced a $3 million pledge to support us.
That's incredible. So glad to hear the corporate area of Charlotte diving in and recognizing the benefit of the work that you all are doing in Mecklenburg Libraries.
And keep listening, because our Library Foundation will be making announcements every few weeks about donors that are willing to be recognized for that. And then, you know, quite frankly, my donation isn't particularly large, but it helps. And we hope that a lot of the citizens of this county will make a contribution to this.
Absolutely. And I hope this podcast helps in that effort.
I'm sure it will.
So with that, I'd like to thank you, David Dillard, for coming by and being on the podcast. And in the show notes, when we post this, we'll certainly direct folks to the website.
Terrific.
And we'll continue to support what you guys are doing, and can't wait to go into these libraries personally and experience what you've shared.
Scott, thanks so much for the invitation. I've enjoyed it.
It's our pleasure. Scott Pridemore for Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Thank you.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at pridemoreproperties.com.